Talk CDL presents Carrier Spotlight. Learn more about the story behind the carrier and the people who make it run. Now, here's another Carrier Spotlight.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of Talk CDL. Welcome to Spotlight here presented by Talk CDL. And today we have a carrier in North Dakota called GMR Transportation. We'll be spotlighting GMR here on Talk CDL. And with us today, we have the general manager, and his name is Steve Podratz. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Steve, let's go ahead and just get this interview underway. Do you have a little story for us of how GMR Transportation really got started? First off, who's the founder of GMR Transportation? How do we go there?
Well, the founders are three gentlemen, which GMR stands for Gus, Mike, and Rick. Gus is one of the partners. Mike, and if I refer to Dad, we're a family-based company, you know, I call him Dad. He's the M of GMR. And then Rick is another gentleman that them two work with. It started out back in the 70s when my dad started working for a trucking company in town here. He was there for 27 years, and he also worked with Gus there. Out of the 27 years, 26 years together. What went on is that the company that they currently were at that time that they worked for, they had sold out. Once the company sold, Gus and Mike kind of went on their own ways. The trucking company wasn't originally started at that point, but then what happened was is that there was such good rapport with the drivers and customer base and everything that we had owner-operators that approached these two to start their own trucking company because they did not like the way things were, what direction the previous company was going to. So that's, in a sense, that's when it all started. And that all happened in 1999. Actually, I've been here since day one. We started out with one truck on the 23rd of December in 99. Then in a matter of 40 days, we're all of a sudden up to 15 trucks. I mean, once the word got out that they were starting this company, because there's been such good rapport with people, we always like to think that we work together. You know, nobody works for each other. I mean, drivers and the staff, we all have to work together to make this go. And that's essentially where it started. And there was a lot of ups and downs when we first got going, but we're strong now. I mean, we're doing very, very well.
So, you know, that's such a awesome beginning. You know, a lot of times you hear, you know, somebody had a dream of starting their own company, but by popular demand from the local drivers that were all working together at that old company, they're convincing your dad and Gus to possibly, hey, let's do something here. You guys can start your own company. And you know, a lot of times it's just pure opportunity also, and it all just fell into place for GMR, and I never knew about those initials, Gus, Mike, and Rick, you said, correct?
Correct.
That's an awesome story. I love that. So these were just three honest people working hard together in the beginning. In the 70s, they were working together at that company. By the 1990s, they formed a company, and you said within 40 days, people were flocking. I'll tell you, I'll guarantee you today, trucking companies would love to have, and I'm not saying there's not real good companies out there. I'm just saying a lot of companies would love people to just flock over and say, hey, we want to go work for these people because we know what they're all about. That's great. And you said this was 1999 when you actually got started, correct?
Yep, that's correct. 2 days before Christmas is when my actual start date was, because I was nervous too doing this, but anything that Mike and Gus do, they're successful at. So I didn't have any concerns of coming aboard and trying this venture out with them. I mean, I've known Gus ever since I've been a little kid. I mean, I'm talking 9, 10 years old, and it's one of those things that, you know, it's kind of flattering that people approached us because they had no intentions. It wasn't like they were at a previous employer and it's like, hey, let's go out and let's do this on our own. It was a matter of 2 years, 3 years before any of this developed. So, and we still have that same practice today. I mean, it, you know, grow and be successful, but yet take care of the people that work for us or work with us together. You know, that's our objective.
So that's been your philosophy the whole time, is whoever's with you now, we're going to make sure these people are taken care of before we even expand or do anything beyond that. Is that correct?
Exactly. That's what we want. I mean, we want people to come aboard to GMR to stay at GMR. I've got drivers here that have been, we're a 17-year or 16-year-old company. I have drivers that have been here 16 years. I have three of them that have been here 16 years. And we have probably five that have been over here 9 years. And then it just kind of, you know, trickles down from there. We have a few that have been here 5 years. And, yeah, it's so we want to be that company where we retain drivers. I mean, we want to make it a good place for guys to be, you know, with family and with making a good, honest living. That's our goal.
So Steve, I see here you guys pull flatbeds, you pull step decks, you pull RGN trailers. Now, has it always been just strictly in the flatbed and heavy haul? I see, in fact, we'll talk about heavy haul in a second, but has it always been that way, or have you pulled other things, reefer, van, tanker?
We've always been a flatbed company, and the experience with Gus, Mike, and Rick are the same thing. It's just all flatbeds. We haven't ventured out into the van area or reefers or, you know, hopper bottoms or, you know, anything in regards to that. It's always been flatbed.
So, and look, Steve, from the beginning, was it all over the road, or do you have other things you dabble in besides the OTR? We'll be talking about that here in a little bit on your long range, but when you started out there, first off, you started out in North Dakota. Am I correct on that, or I believe you have another terminal in Wisconsin?
Our main terminal is in North Dakota.
Okay.
We do have a couple other satellite terminals. We have another terminal in Milwaukee, and we can get into that in a little bit. That was acquired in April of 2005. And that was primarily 60% of what goes on down there is heavy haul.
Let's go ahead,
as a company in whole, we're probably, I'd say, 70% flatbed, 30% heavy haul as a whole company.
Let's go ahead and touch a little bit on that heavy haul. What kind of commodities and just touch on that heavy haul for a second. Go ahead.
All right. Well, down there we have a lot of RGN. So we haul equipment. We do have stretch trailers, which they get up to 123 feet long, and that's mostly like overhead crane stuff that goes into like steel mills. The other part that we're heavy into down there is Caterpillar. Now, Caterpillar is in today's market because of farming and construction. Caterpillar is kind of it's slowed down. It's still there, but it's not as good as a market as it was even 2 years ago. The other part that we're heavy into down there is electrical components, like transformers that go on the poles, substation, big transformers. We get units that we do work with all the way up to, I think, our capabilities in our particular fleet. We're at about 95 to 100,000 pounds is the heaviest that we do. So in short, that's what goes on out of that terminal.
So, Steve, staying with this heavy haul just for a second with me. If a driver out there is interested in your company, but all he has ever done was say flatbed and van, is there any extra training to be able to pull a heavy haul? Because I've talked to drivers over the years, and they're very curious about breaking into the next level up, and that, of course, would be heavy haul. So what does a driver, when he comes to GMR, is he going to be allowed to pull heavy haul over length, oversized vehicles, even though he's maybe never only has pulled flatbed loads?
We have not written in writing, but we have a stage that we go through with drivers. Each person is individualized by their capability. And what I mean by that is if we have a driver that's been doing van and he wants to come aboard and he wants to learn the flatbed business, and he, you know, and then let's say eventually he wants to do heavy haul, there is a process that we go through. We want them to start out. I mean, it's like anything. You need to grow as things go on in your professional business, which, let's driver example, we'll start them out with flatbeds, okay, and we'll go from there. And the same goes if we've got guys that have a lot of flatbed experience and they want to get into heavy haul. We judge everything on an individual basis. There is opportunity, but if you've been, and I'm just being honest with the people out there, if you come into our company and you've done nothing but van and you want to just haul strictly heavy haul, I'll be honest, that's probably not going to happen right away. And not probably, I know it won't happen right away. And that's what we believe here is honesty. And if you want to work hard and you want to go up the ladder and get into heavy haul, there is opportunity here. But we have to do it in process. We have to do it in stages. You have to mature in your position where you're at and then go from there.
You know, Steve, I would think that, you know, and I've talked to many good drivers over the years, I would think that a lot of drivers would actually be all in full understanding of what you just said. And to be clear, I caught also you're saying if a driver has strictly only van experience. And by the way, reading your paperwork, I believe a driver has to strictly have at least 24 months of any tractor trailer experience in the last, say, 3 years just to be able to be hired on. But you can take someone and train them with, I guess, talk to us a little bit about load securement and making that change from van to flatbed for these guys.
All right. Well, I've had in probably last 6 months, I'd probably say about 7-8 guys that have come in. And what goes on is when you come into the company and you have strictly van experience and you want to learn about securement, tarping and everything else, you actually learn, and we're a small company, so you're working with me one-on-one. Everything from, and I have samples of different types of product out in our yard here. So your training process is done with me one-on-one, as far as securement of straps, securement of equipment, tarping a load. I have a little miniature tarp that I bring out, and we do a load and tarp the load. I guess as far as that, I mean, if you have a clean CDL, you make it through the insurance process and all of the stuff that DOT requires us to do, and you have no experience pulling flatbed, I work with you one-on-one. Me personally, I work with you one-on-one through that process.
That's awesome. So basically a driver can go from van to flatbed and then eventually build himself up to the prestigious heavy haul division. Well, I shouldn't say heavy haul division because you said it was 30%. So obviously if a driver has a career with GMR, they will be pulling everything. So they'll be pulling flatbed,
exactly.
And they also will be pulling heavy haul, correct?
And you're correct. And a note on that, what we do with – I have a small select fleet that do heavy haul. And I also have guys that do heavy haul, but they don't do it all the time. But I have just a select few that's pretty much all they do is heavy haul. But when it's slow, you know, come fall, winter time, because usually the market doesn't call for, you know, a lot of over-dimensional stuff going, but they'll haul flatbed freight. We'll do what we have to do so the driver has money to send home. Because if there's no freight, the truck's not moving, we're not making money, the driver's not making money. So there's a lot of times, too, on the other part of the perspective, where guys have been doing flatbed, and then all of a sudden we have a big, huge surge of over-dimensional freight that needs to move, whether it's an RGN, a step deck, or flatbed, or a stretch trailer, and they'll move into that, and they'll do it. I mean, they'll haul over-dimensional freight.
And, Steve, just to touch on flatbed versus heavy haul, you know, I try to tell all carriers, you know, we don't want to talk about the actual pay only because pay, you know, pay gets changed and things happen. And we don't want to say, here's the pay today. And then they listen to this interview 8 months later. But from what I see, you're very competitive with your wages. In fact, very good wages a driver can make at GMR Transportation. But I noticed they do actually get considerable compensation for those heavy haul loads. So they're not just pulling a heavy haul and getting the same rate as a flatbed driver. That is correct.
Exactly. That's correct. Due to the fact is there's a lot more time. And same thing with the staff, ordering permits, you know, routing. And the same thing goes with a lot of our over-dimensional freight, you can only run during daylight hours. During the summer, you'll be able to get your full 11 hours in driving. But the wintertime, with the off routes and everything else, you're not able to get, you know, your 11 hours of driving in. So that's why there is a different pay scale on doing heavy haul or over-dimensional.
Now, let's talk about the company itself as a whole, Steve, for a second. We'll go back to what the driver. And in fact, this is the things that on Spotlight that we're trying to show drivers so they can really get to know the carrier intimately. Let's talk about the entire staff, just the staff without drivers. About how many employees do you have between the two terminals? Do you know that number off top?
Between the two terminals, we have, I believe, 15 between the two terminals that are just what we'll call layman's terms administration, okay?
Okay.
And we have a general manager down at our terminal in Franklin, Wisconsin. We have, I'll call her assistant manager or dispatcher, load coordinator. We have one of those down there. That's all we have in that staff down there because our main corporate office up here in West Fargo is the payroll, safety, and, you know, all the other stuff. Now, up here in Fargo, we have three dispatchers that we pretty much have the United States divided up into three different areas. We have three people in accounting, and that goes with driver payroll, you know, the basic acts of business, paying bills, drive a payroll, and so on and so forth. We have the president and vice president, which we've already mentioned, which is Mike and Gus, and then Rick is an assistant or another vice president. We have one fleet manager, which the drivers will be talking to them or talking to this individual probably 80% of the time. So when you call into GMR and it's like, what do I do next? You talk to one person. And what that does is that frees up more time for our other dispatchers to find, you know, freight and book loads and deal with customers. And then we have one person in logistics, and then we also have one person that is our safety director, which coordinates the logs. If there's anything else that I guess has to do with the safety department. And then Mike and myself take care of all the maintenance. So there's really only three people that you would need to talk to. If there's a safety issue or electronic log issue, that would go to one person. To get general information of where you're going to next and what you're loading, you talk to one person. And then if there's a maintenance issue, you talk to one person. So, and then, you know, obviously if there's a payroll issue, you talk to the accounting department. But it isn't calling in here and you get transferred around to five different people to find an answer out. And if anybody comes aboard, again, we're small enough, if there's a question with something, they can always get a hold of me, no matter if my cell phone or if I'm sitting at my desk.
I was going to ask this question later. You kind of led me into this, and I'll ask it now. Let's talk about your open door policy. You know, we know that no matter what, we can have five trucks or 500 trucks. Drivers are people, and we all have our personal problems in life. And so how do we address driver problems at GMR? Do they have an open door policy? If, say, a driver is wanting to do something different because it may be a problem at home or whatever the case is, how do we address? Do you have an open door policy?
Yes, of course. We have an open door policy. We have a policy here to where throughout this office building, just they can go and talk to anybody face to face. You don't have to go see a receptionist and say, hey, can you please page this person? I need to speak with them. Today I had a couple drivers that came up to drop paperwork off. They walked right into the accounting department, said, hi, how you doing? Talked to the accounting department, came out, talked to the dispatch. The dispatcher personally handed them their dispatch information. Same thing goes with the president and vice president, which is Mike and Gus. You can walk into their office at any time. And then if there's issues, you know, above and beyond that, we take everybody on an individual basis and sort the problem out and try to correct it. Because there's always going to be problems in this industry, and there's problems in everybody's personal life. So if there's things that need to be talked about, the door's open.
That's awesome. So we'll stay on this same type of questioning for a second. A new driver with GMR Transportation, he's done his orientation, and we'll talk about that in a second, but he's already completed his orientation. He's out on the road. Now, do you try to really monitor this driver, do some check calls, make sure he's getting along, make sure him and his dispatcher are doing well, make sure that he's happy with everything from equipment to his miles. Are you keeping up? Do you keep up with your drivers to really make sure? Because there's got to be a reason why you have such a low turnover there at GMR Transportation.
Yeah, there is. We do a couple different things as far as communication. One, we want to talk to people. We want to talk to the drivers. Sending stuff over over the people net, which we do that because it's such a great tool that the driver would say, instead of me writing all this down, just send it over on PeopleNet where I'm picking up at, the address, the pickup number, so on and so forth. But also with that, there is a check call that is made by the fleet manager or even myself to, you know, after they get out into the system and they start working, to see how things are going. Initially, to grow into being here, yes, we don't look them at, you know, under a microscope. We're all adults here, but, you know, we watch what's going on. We want them to be successful here. We want them to strive to, you know, make a good income for their family or, you know. So it's, yes, there is, they can call me at any time on my cell phone or at the office. I shouldn't say any time. I don't want to get a phone call at 3 in the morning just to talk, but we're in the same thing goes with the president and vice president, Mike and Gus. You can contact them at any time. And if there's issues, we want to get it worked out. So we make sure guys are getting the miles. We make sure that they're running. We make sure they're not sitting 2 days for a load. I mean, our turnaround as far as loading and reloading are 1 day. I mean, that's what it's been the last 9 months. And the only time that is missed is because of driver error. It wasn't because of weather or anything. Maybe the driver overslept and missed his offload. But those are things that happen in the industry, and we just have to take everything individually. And that's what we believe in, one-on-one basis.
Okay. Steve, one more question based on this helping. Over the years when I was in recruiting, I was asked so many times by drivers that were, you know, going on to a different carrier, hey, what do you do in case of emergencies? You know, a driver will say, you know, I had a dentist appointment and they kept me out on the road and didn't get me home for it, or and they knew about it a month in advance, or maybe they'll say, you know, I had to get to a funeral and my company wouldn't get me back. You know, what do you address stuff like that also, Steve, if people have emergencies?
Of course we do. I'll give you a small example. We had a situation that went on where a gentleman's grandmother passed away. So he was approximately, I'd say, 1,800 miles from home. So what happened was with that particular situation is the moons were aligned. We had another driver that was kind of in the same area to where we had the capabilities of loading this other gentleman because the one where the grandmother passed away, we just switched loads. And we loaded that other gentleman so he could get home for his grandmother's funeral. It just happened to work out that way. Or the same thing goes with people requesting home time, which it's an important factor in this company. Pay and home time are two things that make a happy driver. Now, if we get a notice in ample amount of time, you know, I want to be home on such and such date, we will load you to that date. I mean, if they tell me on a Tuesday they need to be home on Friday and it's 900 miles or 1,000 miles, we can't control that. But if there's times where they want to be home for an anniversary or their child's birthday, and we know what the date is, and they give us a couple week notice, and they have the time off coming, of course we're very, very good at that. We're very good at getting guys home.
Okay, Steve. Speaking of home time, I noticed in your paperwork, a driver gets a day and a half off for each week out, which means if he's out 2 weeks, he legitimately gets three. And if he's out 3 weeks, he legitimately will get, it sounds like, about 5 days off. Go ahead and talk about that for a second.
I mean, that's kind of what we figured out as far as an idea of what we want these guys to do. Because we've had different situations where, and again, I'm just being honest because that's the way I want it to be. I don't want to give any expectations to any people out there. We would like to see a guy, ideally, or a guy or gal, a driver, be out for 3 weeks at a time. Because what that does is we can get them out into the system. We can get them to stretch their legs out and make some money and drive miles. If we're constantly every 4 days needing to, you know, because where our customers tell us they want us to go, that's where we go. We are an over-the-road carrier. So, you know, guys come aboard and then, you know, they want to be home every other Friday. And even up here in North Dakota and Fargo, we don't have freight that runs, you know, 100 miles out and 100 miles back. We're not that type of company. But when an individual gives us ample amount of notice, we will get them, you know, we'll get them home. And we keep track. That's part of the fleet manager. That person keeps track of how many days a guy's been out, when he needs to be home for home time. And then that's all communicated with dispatch because all of us sit in one room. We don't have, you know, people all scattered out as far as the main operations. We're all right in one room. So we can hear what's going on. Certain person needs to be home at this time and so on and so forth.
Okay. So basically you're not the typical one day out, you know, one week out rather, one day home. And I know a
right.
lot of drivers, they don't like that, but you know, GMR does offer what I would call a little extra home time when the driver is home.
Exactly. I mean, we have, and there's two, it's like a double-edged sword. Okay. If a driver's out or, you know, wants to be home every Friday, well, one, they're not getting enough miles between loading and offloading because you have to figure it could be anywhere from 2 hours to offload and 2 hours to reload all the way up to 4 hours to offload. So the offloading and reloading are kind of a day that's getting ready to do your run. We'll call it that. What I'm talking about, the double-edged sword, is that they don't get enough home time, so they're upset over that. But then yet they're also upset because they're not getting enough miles. They're not bringing home enough paycheck. I do have a couple guys that run 2 weeks. They'll go out 2 weeks and then come home, but they don't take their full time off. They'll go home and spend a day or two, and then they're back out again. And then also in our fleet, we have some guys that they're out for 5 weeks, 6 weeks at a time. Then they go home and take, you know, they take their week and a half off.
Right, but that
so
those guys,
again, it's all on an individual basis.
And the drivers, just to make everybody clear out there, the drivers that stay out 5-6 weeks, that's by driver choice when they stay out that long.
That is not mandatory by any means in this company. And again, even with the 3 weeks out, that's what we like to see. And there are some situations where a driver went home. He had to go home, let's say, off the top of my shoulder here, a doctor's appointment. He had to be back the following week for a doctor's appointment. So the driver chooses, instead of sitting home and not having any revenue coming in to his household, he'll go out and run for a week, and then we'll bring him back. And then he'll finish up with whatever, you know, whatever things he has going on.
Steve, you mentioned the word long haul. And
yes.
When I look at your company, I compare the notes, and a lot of carriers, they're called 48 state haulers, but legitimately their main freight lane is Chicago to the East Coast or Atlanta to the East Coast. But when I look at your package, I would say drivers would say these guys are legitimately long-range drivers. Let's talk about some of those big runs. I believe your average trip is, what, 1,200-plus miles. You guys cover every place, don't you?
We legitimately go all 48. We have accounts Southern California. We have accounts in Washington on the East Coast. We have accounts in New York. One thing we don't do is we do not go to New York City. If we do, it is per special request from a customer. And then usually if something like that happens, we talk with the driver and say, hey, it's one of our good accounts. Are you willing to go out to New York City? But most of our runs, one of our, and again, we don't have a lane that we run, but we run quite frequently from California into the Midwest. We do a lot of Southern California up to, let's say, Wisconsin, Detroit area. We do stuff to upstate New York, all out of California. So, I mean, that you're talking, that is just about an eight-day run, 2,800 miles. And then also, on the other perspective, we have sometimes where we'll take a 400-mile run, let's say from Seattle, to bring you down to Southern Cal, or from our terminal in in Franklin, we'll go down to Atlanta, Georgia. And then out of Atlanta, Georgia, maybe we'll go to upstate New York. And then out of New York, then maybe we'll go out to California. But overall, every truck in the company, I just did this not even a week ago, we're averaging a little over 1,200 miles, an average per all of our trucks.
That's huge.
Through the short and the long, it's a 67 fleet average of 1,200 miles.
So, Steve, one of the big things in the industry right now is driver comfort. I know that you have the latest equipment, but, you know, all equipment to me is they're pretty comfortable. But what else do you provide? A lot of drivers like refrigerators and freezers and all kind of things that come with the truck. Tell us about what you've done for your drivers.
Okay. All of our trucks are late model Macs. Mac Vision. They all have 72-inch bunks, which has got a standard, I think it's 36 or 40-inch wide, you know, mattress in there. They come equipped with refrigerators, and also we have generators on there, which has an air conditioner plugged into the generator, which also has a heater that's plugged into the generator. And we're finding out that we're reducing idle time, which is saving money for the company. And then also it provides comfort for the driver because he doesn't have the truck that's idling, like especially in the winter times. If you're in cold temperatures with this generator running, it provides electricity to the block heater. It provides you to run your microwave. It provides you to run the heater and without any idle time on the truck. It's not an APU. It's something that the vice president, Mike, came up with. It's an actual generator that's on the truck because we've had issues with APUs. Nobody will work on them as far as the industry standard goes. So you buy a brand new APU, and we have a gentleman that's down in Texas. He has no air conditioning. The APU doesn't work. So we bring it into a place, and they're talking, well, it's going to be 2 days before we can even look at it. Well, that's lost downtime for the company, and that's lost downtime for the driver. So we came up with another scenario, and as people come aboard and they're interested in coming over to GMR, we'll show you the system that we have. For comfortable ability, we have XM radios. Company does not pay for that. That's if a driver wants to have XM, he doesn't have to go to the local electronics store and buy, you know, the little head unit that you plug into the stereo. They're already XM ready. You can pay for that on your own. Refrigerators, refrigerator freezer, they're installed from the factory. Other than that, the truck itself, can't remember the wheelbase off the top of my head because we've ordered a couple different wheelbase options, but all our trucks are 13-speed. They're Mac Visions, like I had stated earlier. I believe they're 450 horse. Guys love them. I mean, at first, it seems like in this industry, everybody wants to be in a big Peterbilt and a big Kenworth, and I've had a couple gentlemen that came over that were driving Peterbilts and Kenworths. But once they got into this Mack truck and the drivability of these trucks are the newer trucks, like the ones we have. The oldest truck in our fleet is a 2014, and we have some more coming in. The drivability of the truck, and I drive myself. I drive locally. I've done some cases where I've been in the last year I've had to go out to Montana. I've gone down to Texas. So I've personally have driven these trucks long distances, and the drivability is so nice. I compare them to – I wasn't a big fan of them initially because I was like a lot of people in the industry that all they want to do is drive a Peterbilt or a Kenworth, and I'm confident that once they start driving these, they're easy to drive. It's less stressful than what a person thinks it would be.
Steve, also, am I reading correctly? Your trucks are governed at 70 mile an hour in comparison to the rest of the industry. That's pretty fast.
Yeah, we're at 70. Our trucks are governed at 70. 70 on the foot and 70 on the cruise. So we figured that's a good happy medium. I mean, I know when you drive the 11 western states, which, you know, we do. I mean, we are a 48-state carrier. Speed limit 75, and guys want to go 75. But there's a lot of safety factors involved with that. I mean, it's we figured in a whole as a company that's should be sufficient. And I just talked to a gentleman the other day. His truck is governed at 62 miles an hour, no matter where he's at. That's where we're at with that. And we've got guys that want to increase it. And to be honest, there's a lot of our fleet that don't run 70 miles an hour. There is enough time to get to point A to point B without having to drive that fast.
You know, most carriers out there, like you said, 62, 64, 65 mile an hour. It is nice, even if you are a driver that wants to drive at 65. And a lot of them do. It is nice to be able to have the power to get up and get around slower traffic and, And it's there if you want to get up to 70 on the open range. That's nice to be able to do that. And I know that a lot of drivers would appreciate that. Steve, moving on, benefits, perks. I mean, rider program, pet policy, health benefits, all that stuff. Touch a little bit about what comes with the job for these drivers and their families.
Okay. I'll start off first with our health benefits. We do provide health benefits. Eye, medical, dental, that can, as far as a new driver, that initiates after 90 days, I believe. Or no, it's 60 days. I'm sorry. Looking at my notes. The drivers have the same health benefits as the staff. Everybody has the same health benefits. So it isn't discriminated by age or, you know, anything like that. Everything is straight across the board as far as the company goes. There is an out-of-pocket for a single and a family that is a small portion that is the responsibility of the driver to pay. But I can tell you with today's industry, and it doesn't matter if it's trucking or anything, we've done a lot of research on this. Health insurance is very expensive, very, very expensive. And we pay a very, very good portion of that. And if they want to call and we can get in depth, because like you said, this airs in 8 months, things might change. So I don't want to give out, you know, exact numbers on that. Now, as far as rider policy, we do provide rider policy. Ideally, we want to see a gentleman at least 60 days before they bring, you know, the spouse with. That is, but again, that's things are on an individual basis, but that's what we like to see. And same thing with pet policy. We do provide, you know, they can bring a pet with. We do have them sign a waiver. And again, I'm being honest. If they have a dog in the truck and the dog chews, you know, the driver's seat up while the driver was in the truck stop taking a shower, well, that's going to be responsibility of the driver. I mean, we feel that we're open enough to where we can let them have a pet in the vehicle, but if the vehicle, you know, gets destroyed by the dog or, you know, cat for all that matter too, you know, we call responsibility on their behalf to take care of that cost.
And Steve, what about, is there any other perks like vacation pay, 401k, all that stuff out there? Does GMR offer?
I'm glad you brought that up, Troy. We do have 401k. And that, again, you'll be eligible to donate to your 401k after 60 days. Vacation pay is after 1 year of service. So on your anniversary date, you're employed here, we'll call it, you know, from August to August. On that date, you will get 1 week's vacation. And how we do this, and we kind of change things around, they will pay you your vacation pay up front. So from August to August, on your anniversary date, you will get your week's vacation pay in a check. Then as you want to use that vacation, you know, we've already paid you for it. So that's the best way we found out by doing that, pay the vacation pay on their anniversary date.
So after
2 years, you get 2 weeks. Then after 3 years, you get 3 weeks. And then after that, after 5 years, you get 3 weeks. Then it is prorated after that point, I believe. But I believe that we've tried doing some of that as far as prorating, but it's a lot of guys don't use 3 weeks of vacation, to be honest with you. But you will get paid in a check 3 weeks vacation after 5 years of service.
So just to recap that so I know, you're saying that on their anniversary every year, they can take, well, you automatically pay them that pay, but they don't necessarily have to take the week off. They could take the week off some other time.
If they use the vacation or not, they still get paid.
Now, what about, just out of curiosity, what about a driver, he now has 2 weeks paid vacation. Does he get both weeks also on his anniversary?
Correct.
Wow, that's actually beautiful. Hey, let me, before I forget, I wanted to mention this. I don't have it written down, but what's really important also, I'm sure, to GMR Transportation is talk to the good folks out there listening in that will be listening on Talk CDL. Where do you hire from, Steve? Am I hearing correctly that you can hire pretty much anywhere as long as you can work at a home time policy with that driver?
I hire all over. We're based in, of course, North Dakota. We have drivers that are from the Carolinas. I have drivers from Texas. I have drivers from Oregon. I have several drivers from California. I have drivers from Nebraska, Minnesota, North Dakota, which, you know, is obviously because we're based up here. But, no, we hire drivers from all 48 states.
That's awesome. And now, so let's go ahead and talk about orientation for a second. Now, orientation is at one of the two terminals, or is it just at one of the terminal? And how do you get your driver there? How long does it last? Is it paid? Just kind of touch on everything if you can.
All right. Orientation is, for the most part, done in our office here, our main office in West Fargo, North Dakota. That's because that is where our safety department's at. That's where I'm at, because I'm hands-on. Our safety department and accounting and dispatch, they're all hands-on. They want to see the guy or gal. I apologize. They want to see the driver. So our main thing is to bring the driver to West Fargo. And usually what occurs is, let's say, and we'll just do an example. I have a driver, we'll say he's from Tennessee. What we'll do is after the initial process, there's initial process that DOT requires us to do, which is MVR, past history, and a lot of this is out of our control as far as insurance and everything else like that. But we'll get to the next process, which is once they are cleared through our first initial steps that we do, we will put them usually on a plane and we'll fly them out of their home state and we'll fly them into Fargo, North Dakota. There's some people that don't want to fly, so we'll put them on a bus and we'll send them up here. Then usually what will happen is our policy that we find, or we're finding out that better streamlines the training process, is we'll fly them in at the beginning of the week. And we're very successful at this, is they'll fly in, example, there's sometimes, we'll have them fly in on a Sunday. And I will personally, the last 20 people that we have hired here, I have personally picked them up at the airport on a Sunday. So I'll pick them up and we'll put them into a hotel. Then that way we can do the pre-employment drug screen right away on Monday morning. And usually that's anywhere from 2 days to maybe three. Once in a great while, we'll get lucky in a day and a half. But the norm that goes on in our company, it's usually no more than 3 days. So in that three-day time, while we're waiting for something that is out of our control, we will start the orientation process with going through paperwork. You'll meet with the people in the safety department. You'll meet with them first initially. And again, it's individual basis. If he doesn't have flatbed experience and so on and so forth, or if he doesn't have past experience in electronic logs, that is the first thing that we do, is the initial paperwork of signing the required documents that DOT needs us to sign. Then after that, in the safety department, you'll go through electronic logs, and then whatever else. I'm not too involved with the safety department because it's such an area that I just give the individual over to our safety department and they work through that process. Then after that, if they don't have experience in flatbedding, we'll work through going through load securement and everything else. If they do have experience, I still will work with the people or the driver a little bit and see what their knowledge is, as far as kind of like a little test. See how there's some guys I don't do anything with that say they have flatbed experience, and then there's some guys that say they have all kinds. And I still quiz them, and they really need some more brushing up on the type of product that we haul. So I'll work with them on that. And then after that point, I personally will go through the truck with the driver. We have a checklist. It's cut black and white of what kind of equipment that they need. So from tarps and chains and straps and binders, and we'll go through the truck. If they've never been in a Mack truck before, we'll go through all of the different gauges, from the stereo to the differential lock on the rear ends. And so that's the initial process on that. And example, let's say we started this on Monday, and usually by Wednesday afternoon, if they do have past experience and I feel that they are ready, and they are cleared by the insurance and their drug screen test and they're all ready to go, usually the next morning we'll have them in the truck going out on the road. And then at that point because anytime you start a new job or with a different company, there's always going to be questions after you get on the road. There always is, and myself included. We'll go through whatever questions they have on the real world question, not what we talked about in the office and get our little samples out in the yard as far as securement. So I get phone calls all the time. I even get phone calls from guys that have been with us 9 years on a different situation, and we'll work it together, and I don't know all the answers, and if I don't know the answers, I will find out the answers for that driver. So that's kind of, in short, the process of the orientation. So we've never had orientation that has lasted longer than 3.5 days.
Steve, after orientation, it just, in your own words, describe maybe 2 weeks with GMR, you know, from where to where. Just, and you know, obviously we're not trying to, you know, describe a dedicated route or anything like that, but just off the top of your head, you know, from where to where, how it's like and picking up with for GMR. How, just give us a typical week or two.
I'll give you an example. We had a gentleman that just came in, and his first load was 80 miles south of Fargo is where he loaded. The load went up to upstate New York with drops on it. Now, new orientation people that are going to be calling me, we do pay for drops. We do pay for tarping. And you can call us here at GMR and get more details on that. But an example, we just did a load last week, a driver that started here. He went 80 miles south of Fargo, and we paid him to Deadhead down to pick up his load. All miles at GMR are paid. So if the company decides that they're going to bounce you 80 miles or they're going to bounce you 200 miles, we pay you for them miles. So we loaded 80 miles south of Fargo, and it went up to upstate New York, and he loaded on a Thursday. He finally emptied out with his drops and everything, emptied out on a Tuesday. Then after that, we loaded him up out of upstate New York, and he went down a little run down to South Carolina. Then out of South Carolina, he came out of there, and he went over towards Nebraska. Then out of Nebraska, he went back to Milwaukee, and out of Milwaukee, he went to California. So you take all that together, and it averages out over 1,200 miles the month, you know, the 30 days that he had, the 1 month of running. We watch that carefully. We watch what guys are doing. We want to make sure drivers are getting the mile. So we watch that very closely. One thing that we take pride on is that if the individual wants to work when he's out there, the miles are there. The money is there and the miles are there. That's what we try to promote in this company. And again, everybody's on an individual basis. I mean, we have some guys that run tremendously, and then you have some guys that don't run tremendously, and that's the nature of the beast. That's any industry you're in, whether you're machining or whether you're – it's the potential's here. The potential's here to grow in this company, and that's what we're looking for is long-term people – that drivers that want to grow with us, because we do want to grow. I'm the second generation that will be running this company, and I'm not going to lie to you. I want to grow, and I want people that want to grow with me. I want people to have longevity here, and that's what we're trying to promote is people to make a good living and want to stay with us. That's what we're promoting here.
Steve, what's your fleet size today?
Our fleet size today is 71, which, is that, you know, in the big industry, that's small. But, yeah, we're 71. And then with the owner-operators, which I'm not including the owner-operators in that, with owner-operators, we're a little over 90 trucks. I think we're at 94 trucks or something like that with the owner-operators.
Steve, I would tell you 71 trucks is very respectful in the industry. And just listening to everything we're talking about here, don't think you're going to have a hard time growing at all. What I would guess in my line, because I've been in the industry quite a long time myself, it's flatbed drivers are very unique, and obviously it's not as desired as say dry van, only because flatbed involves a little bit of work. I'm not saying anybody's lazy out there. I'm just saying that, you know, it does involve a little bit of work. So your growth is going to be a little slower, obviously, wouldn't you say?
Right, exactly. I mean, flatbedding is not overly physically strenuous, but, you know, there is physical work that has to be done. I mean, you have to be able to throw a strap over 8-foot-tall load. You have to be able to engineer your way into securing the product on the trailer so it goes down the road safe. So we're not a road hazard going down the road. You know, and again, I have many people I know in the van industry, but vans, you know, you put a load bar in and you shut the doors. You know, that's how they secure load so the load doesn't shift. It's just a couple bars in there and away you go. Flatbed industry is way more detail orientated than that. That's why we do pay a premium per mile. Because it's our livelihood and it's a driver's livelihood. So there is a physical demand on that. I mean, you've got to be, you know, I've got guys that are in their 70s that love flatbedding, and they'll always be flatbed, and they know the physical demands, and they should be retired by now, and they don't want to retire because they like flatbedding and they like working for GMR.
Steve, the other day on the show. I don't know if you caught it or not, but we had a lady by the name of Kelly McCulley on. She's been with the same carrier now out of Tennessee pulling flatbed. And one of her friends sent us a picture. We uploaded it to the gallery on Talk CDL. There, it's her carrying a set of chains in the rain. And the guy said she literally sat there chaining and tarping in the rain, smiling and never got mad one bit. So, you know, I agree with you. It's a little physical, but it's not impossible. There's, and I'm not saying just because ladies can do it, but there are many ladies out there that are doing flatbed work. So, you know, drivers, if you're listening in, you are considering flatbed, I would tell you, it's got a lot of health aspects to it, because you are working, and I'm sure Steve would agree with this, you're not just sitting 24 hours a day. We know the statistics on truck drivers that are long haul these days in a van and a reefer. Many of them have high blood pressure, high blood sugar, and it's really due to a lack of exercise. So with flatbed, at least, you know, maybe once or twice a week, you're getting out there and you're getting a little exercise. Would you agree with that, Steve?
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, it's extra work that an individual has to do, but to be honest with you, it keeps, my theory is a body in motion stays in motion. So if you're out working and you do a little bit of exercise as far as rolling out tarps, I mean, your body is moving your muscles. You're using muscles that normally, if you're just sitting behind a wheel, you won't normally use. You know, you understand what I'm saying on that part of it?
Yeah, I'm going to use that term. I like that. I've never heard that. A body in motion stays in motion. I appreciate the little education. I'm one to learn a lot, Steve. Steve, I want to ask you, in your own words, how important is the driver to GMR Transportation?
Oh, it's huge. There isn't a trucking company out there that won't tell you that nothing that the driver hasn't heard before. Drivers are a huge part. I look at it from my aspect, is that we're a team. There's no one thing on the team that overranks the other part. With drivers, if we don't have good quality, reliable drivers and a good quality staff, I don't mean to blend these two together, but we have to all work together. And the importance and the comfortability and the home time, it's all one big package that we look at GMR. We need to all work together as a team. Communication is key in this industry. And again, I'm probably a broken record, but the drivers are very important. And that's why we try to separate ourselves as a smaller company to, you know, pay attention to the driver. Find out what the driver's needs are. If he needs equipment, let's get him the equipment. I mean, it's, you let him do his job. Anything from, you know, comfortability of the truck, like we talked about. I know several people in the industry that don't provide a fridge, that, you know, don't provide a lot of things that we provide. I've had new hires that have come aboard and like, this is great. I've never driven a truck that is only a year old. You know, I've never driven a brand new truck. And that's what we focus on, is maintaining drivers and take care of the drivers. Is a couple things involved. It's communication. And it's, you know, comfortability in the truck. I mean, if the guy's not comfortable in the truck and he calls in, I got a maintenance issue, and they say, oh, don't worry about it, just drive it. We don't do that. I mean, because it's the repercussions of not taking care of the driver are way far out worse than not having the driver. It's very important to us. I don't know what else I can say. I mean, once they come here to GMR and meet our staff, I've had nothing but good rapport of new hires. And I don't mean to brag ourselves up, but that's what we want. We want people to brag how nice they have it here compared to other places that they were employed at. That's our goal.
Steve, we're not too far from the end of this interview, and it's such a great story GMR has. Let's talk about the future at GMR Transportation. Steve, what is the goal? Where are your growth plans at? Any new terminals in the mention? Anything going forward? Can you tell us?
Well, right now, as far as growth, we'll start out with that. As far as growth of the company, we want to increase the fleet. I'm going to be honest with you, but yet we've discussed this in many meetings that we've had here. We don't want to get to the point to where we're a 500 truck fleet, because we're at the point we want to grow enough to where everybody's satisfactory. Everybody enjoys being here, And one of the things that we pride ourselves on right now, and we pride ourselves a lot on, is we know the driver by name, not by truck number. You call in and you say, this is Tim the driver. Well, we know Tim. We know where he's at. We know what's going on. We've never, ever, as long as I've been in this company, I've known every driver face to face. I meet every driver, and I work with them. So when a driver calls, and this is, again, this is Tim, I'm like, Tim, what's going on? I need this, or I need that, or I need to speak to somebody about my dispatch. I need to be home at in a couple weeks, and I can't talk to the person that handles that. Or, you know, that's the part that, as far as growth, yeah, I do want to grow. To be honest with you, I'd love to be at 100 to 125 trucks. But with the industry, the way the industry is, as far as retaining and getting people to know us, once people know us, I don't think it's going to be a big issue to grow, as far as, because we've never advertised. This is the first radio or blog or, you know, any kind of advertisement. This is the first in 15 years that we have ever done. We're not in truck stops. We don't have billboards, because the last 16 years, it's always been word of mouth. Well, then now we're getting to the next point of our growth and getting our name out there. We want people to know that we are the place to be as far as drivers, and never had the opportunity that we're having right now to do this is advertised. So with advertisement, hopefully there'll come growth. Then as far as in regards to another terminals, we currently have 3 terminals right now. In the next 5 years, I'm forecasting we're probably not going to have any more added terminals, because the fact is we have so much work available to us right now with the 3 terminals that we have, that there's no need to start another terminal. I guess, what other part did you have with that question, Troy?
No, that's pretty much it. I'm just, you know, really the long range goals, like you just said, you'd really like to get to 125, which is, again, it's respectable. 71 is respectable. You have your owner operator division going there. And just, you know, as we're all growing together here, Steve, once the word gets out, I'm sure you're going to have a lot of people that I would guess good drivers that are really looking more in depth. You know, with the digital age and the internet, Steve, I'm sure, you know, drivers are really wanting to get to know carriers more than just a 15-minute recruiting call. This is their life. And with this interview, you've really opened up and you've really told your story. And I believe drivers are going to just I'm falling in love. I almost feel like going back on the road today and signing up with you. But you know what? Hacking days are over. I'm sitting in a seat here all day just talking on the radio. But I'll tell you, honestly, you really answered that, and it's an honest answer. Everything's been great. You know, Steve, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up the interview here in a second. Do you have any last words, maybe some advice, or why, you know, just a little bit more why a driver should come to GMR Transportation, why a good career, their whole family would be taken care of there? Do you have any more before we wrap this thing up?
Well, just to wrap up, I personally believe that it has to do with personal relations in regards to, we understand here that a driver has a family. We understand here that a driver needs to be home, you know, at some certain time. We understand making a living. My dad, the owner, told me that if we cannot provide a decent living for a driver, there's no point in even doing this. And he made that statement to me 15 years ago. And actually, both him and Gus did. We want people to come here and be successful. We want you to drive truck for GMR to be successful. We want you to grow with the company. You start out in a flatbed. We want you to be aggressive and have the strive to do overdimensional freight. We want you to make a good living for your family and still be home for your family. I guess in short, it's all about being personal. You know, I mean, getting to know people and knowing you when you walk into GMR to our open door policy, walking in and I see you, I say, hey, Tim, the driver, how's it going? You know, just as an example, we want to know you, in which we do. We know every driver by their name. We know them face to face. We know a lot about, without getting too in depth in their life, but we know the driver. We know how guys want to run. We know, and they know us. They know our office hours. They know if they have a problem at 10 o'clock at night and there's a breakdown or an incident, you know, they know who to contact. it isn't calling the main office and listening to 7-8 different recordings to get a hold of a human. We're personable. That's what we believe in. That's what we want. So in short, it's that make us different than the other carriers is that we know our guys. They know how to get a hold of us. That's the big key is communication.
Steve, speaking of getting a hold of, is we're going to be putting your numbers and your contact and a link to your website and all that stuff up. Do you want to leave your who do they contact? Do they contact you directly if they're interested in talking about a career with GMR?
Yeah, one of two people. It would be currently right now. It'd be either myself or Becky. Becky is in our safety department, and I'm the general manager. So call our office there. You can, and again, I know you're going to post that on the site, but I can give it to you, which is 877-325-3954. Again, it's 877-325-3954. We're here 8 to 5, 7 to 5, and if I'm not available, you can talk with Becky. Either way, one of us two are always around. And if we're not, for some weird reason, we're both gone at the same time, they will direct you to somebody that can help out with questions.
Well, all right, Steve. Thank you so much for coming on here to Spotlight, the new feature here on Talk CDL, the Trucker Show. We truly appreciate listening to your story. It was a great story, and we hope you come back on again someday to hang out with the guys on the live show. You're always welcome to jump on and just join in the discussion at any time. But again, thank you so much for coming on.
All right. Sounds good. You have a great day.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and leave my final thoughts, everybody. And my final thoughts are this. GMR Transportation is, like Steve said, one of those small companies that does know you by name. And I've spoken to drivers so many times over the year that will tell you, you know, I don't want to be a number. I couldn't tell you. You know, I drove for many years. Everybody knows my story. I tell it every day on the radio. I've heard so many drivers say, I don't want to be number. I want someone to know my name. And I know I'm not picking on the big companies, but how beautiful is that to be able to work with a carrier that when you walk in the office, they do know your name. Maybe they even know your wife's name or your kids' names. You know, to really get to know somebody, it is a better relation. It is a better work environment when we really do have that personal relationship. You know, one word comes to mind when I think about GMR Transportation, as Steve was talking, legitimate. I mean, here's a carrier that doesn't just keep you running the East Coast. Like a lot of carriers out there, and again, I'm not picking on them, but we all know, we've all been down that road where we get with a trucking company and all we do is run the East Coast, East Coast, East Coast. I mean, at least GMR, what a great thing that they're going to do for you is give you a variety of many things. I'll tell you, one of the things I learned today is a body in motion stays in motion. Flatbed work, everybody, it's a little bit physical, but it's not something you can't do. It's something, if you want to do it, I promise you. I've met women, I've met young men, and as Steve told us, he has 70-year-old men that are still running flatbed. So if they can do it, you can do it. If you're looking to add another notch in your belt, if you have 2 years of tractor trailer experience, verifiable. Now, it has to be verifiable for their insurance company to approve you, them about maybe adding another feather in your hat and putting flatbed on your resume. Flatbed drivers do make a legitimate paycheck every week. So what I would tell you is GMR Transportation, it sounds like a great family-owned business. What a great story. And until we talk next time here on Spotlight, I'm Troy Austin, your host, and we are out of here.
Carrier Spotlight is a Talk CDL production. Be sure to listen for our next Carrier Spotlight, where you, the driver, learn more about the great carrier companies out there. Be safe, and thanks for listening to Talk CDL.